Okay. Well, how do I say this?
Just say it.
I'm just super fat right now.
Honey.
I've been eating so much garbage.
Welcome to Should We Get Married with Kylie and Kyle. Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. We are excited to talk about some stuff today, but first we want to say we just appreciate each and every one of you and getting lots of fun comments and interaction with you on social media kind of brightens our day every day. So thank you. And if you likey the podcast, we likey. Would love to know. If you want to give us a rating or a review on Apple,
helps
iTunes,
out a ton.
Yeah, it helps us out a lot and keeps us going. And give us a follow on Instagram because I'm starting to see some follows on Facebook. But spoiler alert, we're not actually using Facebook.
Fuck Facebook,
we're
man.
We're on Instagram.
Yeah.
So
and tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend.
What are we talking about today?
Well. Very exciting topic.
We're talking about hostage marriage.
No, that's a totally different thing.
We're talking about like just slipping, just like accidentally falling into marriage, basically.
Whoops, we're married.
Like, by law, if you stay together long enough, right, you just kind of, the government just defaults you to marriage.
Well, let's not spoil it because one of us did research and the other did
not. Yeah, I don't know. I'm speculating.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start with this. I want to ask you, what do you think justifies or creates a common law marriage? Like, what would you think it means?
Well, first and foremost, I think nothing justifies common law marriage.
Okay,
I don't believe in that law. I don't think it's right.
What do you think common law marriage is? Let me ask you that.
Here's what I think common law marriage was, is back in the day when the man worked mostly and the woman stayed at home and raised the kids and took care of the house and stuff. That was what I think the law was put in place for, because if a woman's in a relationship and back in the day, they didn't have a career to fall back on. They were left in the dust. So I think that's why that law is something that is, that's why it's a law. But now I don't think it's relevant really at all.
What do you think the criteria is now?
My best guess?
Yeah.
7 years.
Of
living together in the same household.
Okay, good guess. Now, erase everything you've ever thought.
Okay.
Because it is all false.
Oh, all right.
Because...
Is this good news for me?
Sort of. Yeah, I guess.
All right.
Okay. Common law marriage does not have anything to do with how long you've cohabitated together.
Oh, really?
And the number one myth, like, if you took a survey of everyone, I feel like 80, 90% would say... Oh, it's people that have lived together for either 7 years or 10 years. Those are the two most common misconceptions. None of that is true.
What?
Yeah. There's no law that states living together for a certain amount of time.
Okay, well, lay it on me. What's the deal? How does it work?
Okay. I'm going to start with this.
You got a lot of notes there. I like it.
I do have a lot of notes here.
Did your due diligence.
Oh, and the other guess you had of how it came about... Also not very true.
Oh.
It goes way back to even older times where it was really hard to find someone ordained to marry you. Like back when you lived out on a farm, like we're talking like Little House on the Prairie times. Oh. So, you couldn't find someone or you had to travel a long way to find someone to marry you. So you would basically take the other person's name and, act married and kind of just like have an agreement amongst yourselves that you could be common law married because it was either too hard or too expensive. So fast forward to now.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with, there are 11 states in the United States that recognize some form of common law marriage.
Okay.
And they are Alabama, Colorado, District of Columbia, Iowa, Kansas, Montana, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah.
Okay. So we're not on the list.
We are not on the list.
Wait, District of Columbia, isn't that Canada?
No, I don't really know. D.C., isn't that Washington, D.C.?
I don't know. I've never heard of
Washington. Yikes, we're really bad at geography.
Yeah, so bad.
But it was recognized by many more, but they're starting to abolish this in many states.
Okay. This is getting, I'm more and more interested.
I know.
This is unfolding in a really intriguing way.
So we think of this as common law marriage. In Canada, it's recognized as unmarried spouse. Australia, it's called de facto marriage. In Norway, I forget what they call it. It's like cohabitant something.
De facto marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever named that's a super lame-o. The worst name ever. De facto? Yeah. What is that even?
Okay, so basically common law marriage...
Doesn't even roll off the tongue.
Basically, it's a mutual understanding.
Okay.
There are no legal documents that state or put you into a state of common law marriage. Come to find out.
Even in the states that have it?
Yes. You don't go and sign something that says you're common law married.
Okay. Yeah, I assume that.
Okay. But the tricky thing with that is you can't, when the time comes, if you need to, you have to somehow prove that you both at some time agreed to be common law married. So the only reason that I can find that people want to state this is when it comes down to financials or like, one of them dies and say you've been together for 20, 30 years, you own a house together, you have other assets, inheritance, something like that.
Yeah.
And one of you passes away. The other one needs to prove somehow that you're the person.
Right.
To right. all that stuff. Or a lot of unmarried people have children. So custody rights, you might have to prove it then.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or if you are together for 30 years and you feel you're common law married and you split up, that's the same as a divorce if for a real married couple. So
is it?
You have to go to court and prove it, that you deserve half of your house or whatever.
But what is, so I'm still confused. Like what is common law marriage? What does it mean?
Okay. So if two people... There are three things in those states that will like officially recognize a common law marriage. One is you both consent to it. Two is you act married and you hold yourselves to be married in your community and to friends and family.
Okay.
Whatever that means to you. And the third is you're of legal age, 18.
All right.
Those are the three. Now,
so you can be together for 3 months and technically be common law married.
There can be someone together for 20 years that don't recognize themselves as married. And there can be someone that is have been together for 3 months that do recognize themselves as married. And those are totally different.
And you just have to declare it.
Yes, but you both have to declare it. So if you don't sign anything... And 30 years later, you decide to split up and divorce and you just split your assets and you go to court. One of us could completely deny any of that. Like, I never agreed. No, we're not common law married. No, we don't act married. And the other could be saying, yeah, we have kids together. We share all of our finances together. We blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's one word against the other, basically.
Okay. All right.
So the reason they're starting to abolish this in all these states...
Because it's messy.
...is because it's super unclear and it's not defined. And like when people are going to that extent, the answer from the court is, well, it's really easy to just get actual married and go to the court and sign papers if you want to be married.
Huh.
For those purposes.
So everything I thought I knew about this, and everything literally all of the people I know think they know about this, is not. It's wrong.
Totally.
Completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because I just got this whole spiel. I was telling a friend about the podcast, and he started to give his strong opinion on why marriage is really good, because it protects you against common law marriage, and it really makes you a lot of money in taxes. And I'm like,
a lot? Like, what are we talking?
Well, I don't know. I was like, what, like 5 G's a year on a basic, like, you know, median salary? And he's like, somewhere around there. And I'm like, that's not a lot. I mean, 5 G's is nice, but that's not a lot. And then he was totally wrong about everything. I went into the it was a frustrating conversation, because I was like, hey, we're doing this thing. You know, it's about talking openly about the questions that I have and I know other people have. And some things are talked about, some things aren't talked about. It's really fun. And then he kind of bulldozed me into, you know, why marriage is, I think he's trying to justify his own decisions.
Well, yeah, he's from a different time. But I also think that when you're telling someone at first about the podcast and you say it's called Should We Get Married, I think people get stuck on the name and think that we're literally talking about whether we should get married or not, which we kind of sprinkle that in, but it's really not why we have a podcast.
Yeah, but
and
most...
They want to solve it.
Most people... Yeah, I know. A lot of people... Some people want to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's why you should.
But most people that I know are like, whoa, that's a great idea. Cool. Yeah. Nobody... That's so great. You found something really fun to talk about, and it's... I think it'll be really great. And it's an awesome name because it's fitting, but it's also general. That's what most people say. But
we should just send them to episode 9 once they get confused, and they'll realize that we just talk about wiping butts.
That's what it all comes down to, is eventually we just talk about butt stuff.
Totally.
Poop, farting. Dick and fart jokes.
Taking poopies.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at? So this is really... Can I just say?
Yeah.
This is really blowing my mind.
Oh.
Because I was afraid of being common law married. Okay, it's not that funny.
Great. You're scared to be common law married to me?
Yeah.
You're scared to be stuck?
No, it's not that. I don't want to be married to somebody that I'm not. Okay, this is all coming off really poorly. I don't want to be trapped into marriage.
No, yeah,
because somebody else tells me now I'm married.
You want it to be your decision.
Yeah, it takes all the piss out. It takes all the romantic side of the whole thing, and it takes my choice out of it, and it's literally not freedom. But that was on what I used to, that was the information that I had in my head. Mm-hmm. Now, common law marriage,
you have to agree to it.
It's like, you know, when who in the office where he's like, where he stands on the desk and he says, I am now manager, and he declares it.
Oh.
Doesn't Dwight Schrute do that?
Dwight Schrute is manager.
Yeah. And then Oscar
says,
just because you declare it doesn't mean you're manager.
Yeah.
But in this case, it does. If you declare it, it means you're married.
Well, if you in and your partner declare it.
If you both declare it. And if you're in those states, but then can you undeclare it later?
Well, yeah, if you go to court and you decide,
you just,
if you,
it's so okay, willy-nilly.
So here's the thing. If you go to court, that's like really the only scenario where you're going to need to prove it, right? Is when something happens. So here are the things, like there are hundreds of court cases, by the way. So here's like a list of things that they'll end up looking to if your word is against each other and they can't figure out which is correct. They will look at if you filed joint tax returns, if you have merged finances, if you have each other's names, and then testimonies of acting married, like I said, in the community. And then in some states, it even gets more specific on the internet to say you're a heterosexual couple, which I think is unfortunate.
Boo.
Yeah. That may have changed by now.
Yeah.
And then you have to be both be of sound mind, both be actually legally unmarried to someone else, and none of you can be imprisoned. So kind of obvious shit. But basically, I went to Colorado specifically just because that's the closest state, and saw like, what if we want to be common law married? And it's still, there's no action to take, but it said like, if you want to be able to prove this someday, then write a mutual agreement amongst yourselves.
Right. On because paper. And
nobody
sign it.
But you and your partner yeah. are going to know if you decide to be common law married.
Yeah, totally.
Which is crazy.
So you can get married without a marriage license basically in those states.
Yeah. But so I was looking at like, what are the pros and cons of doing this?
Yeah.
And I don't understand that if you don't go declare and sign something, how you can get the pros of being married, because it says like in these states that recognize it, you basically have the same rights as most married people, such as tax write-offs, financial claims, property and inheritance, like employer benefits and healthcare, end of life stuff, and like child custody. So I'm assuming that like when those things come up is when you have to prove it, but it's still very unclear to me. Okay. So I have two takeaways from this.
Yeah.
One is if you want to be common law married, just write a mutual agreement amongst yourselves.
Yeah. But can't be done anyways in Washington.
Right.
Can't even do it. Even if we wanted to.
Right. But if you do it in another state and then move to a state that doesn't recognize it, it holds.
Oh, okay. How yeah. long do you have to live in that state?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
All right.
It's all up to the court. Okay. My second thing is, if you don't want to be recognized as common law married ever in any of these states or other countries that recognize it, you can create a living together statement that states neither of us are interested in ever being recognized as married.
Okay.
That's interesting. That holds up in court.
And third takeaway is everybody's completely wrong about.
No one knows. No one's educated.
Wow. And it took you a half an hour of research
yeah.
to figure all that out.
Yeah.
All right.
So guess we'll just call each other boyfriend, girlfriend the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Partners, however you want to call it.
Husband, wife.
Okay. Well,
boyfriend, girlfriend, partner.
How do you feel about this whole thing? Were you crossing your fingers that we were going to be common law married?
No.
Be honest.
I thought for sure it would be 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably assess at the 10-year mark whether I wanted to accept that or not and like recognize that.
10 years is your watermark? That's a long ass time, babe.
Yeah, I thought it was 10 years. You thought it was 7.
I thought it was 7.
7 would be next year for us. So I was like, that seems
yeah, but
short.
We haven't been living together that long.
Well, yeah. Comes to find out.
Comes to find out.
together. Anyway, so that's that.
All right. Well, I feel relieved.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Does it bother you that I feel relieved?
No, not at all.
Are you sure? Because
look,
it looks like it does.
Common law merit, what, my face looks, what?
Yeah, you're
disappointed?
A little bit, yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't give a shit because like if I want to feel married, then I'll proclaim that I want to get actual married.
Yeah. Getting actual married. So
like part of the fun, I think, of getting actual married would actually be the party. Like not a piece of paper.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's the grand romantic gesture is mm-hmm. of marriage is by far and away the coolest and most interesting thing to me
yeah.
as far as that whole thing goes. Everything else is just silly nonsense. It's just, you're just together. And by the way, that's just my opinion. I don't want to disparage
that's
people.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Being married sounds great, but it's just not for me. It's not for me.
Yeah.
At least for now. That's why I'm talking through it.
Yeah. We'll talk at 10 years.
We'll talk at 10 years. But that again, that's why we're having this podcast, is so I can talk through my feelings and how I can feel about it and make sure that we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But man, am I glad I'm not going to get trapped in the marriage by the government.
Nah, if I wanted to trap you, I'd get pregnant.
Oh my God.
But guess what? I'd be dropping myself too.
That happens.
Yeah, that happens for sure.
That happens, man.
I feel like I know someone that's occurred.
Yeah, and there's like light trappings and there's heavy trappings. There's all kinds of
heavy trappings.
Couples get weird with shit, man.
Yeah.
I think like couples can really get into deep ruts and like life gets really boring and confusing and the relationship goes really stale, but you're afraid to leave and a kid will, you know, resuscitate things back to life.
That's one of my favorite jokes. It's like, oh, let's have a kid to fix it all.
Oh yeah, well that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the parents 20 years later, they wake up next to each other and they're like, "Wait a second, who did I marry?"
Mm-hmm.
After the kid leaves. And even if you wanted to have kids, that happens. So even if you plan to have kids, now all the attention goes into, or a lot of it goes into the kids instead of the couple, and then down the road.
Oh yeah, that definitely happens too.
It sounds really complicated and hard, but that's beautiful, I guess.
Yeah.
Relationships, at the end of the day, to me, are all really beautiful.
Yeah.
Even if they're a failure, because with every failure, you learn something about yourself.
That's true.
There's a learning experience there. Can I talk about a couple of things?
You're looking at your phone. I feel like you got some stuffs up your sleeve.
I feel like what I just said, I didn't really handle my opinions well. So if I said something that's offensive or too hard of an opinion, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. I was going to say, worried about offending somebody?
I'm just kidding, but I'm also serious. It's that,
don't overthink
it. It's that delicate balancing act of everybody can go fuck themselves, but also
be kind.
I'm kind and I want to be respected and I want to respect you.
Everyone keeps asking me why I wrote KNT on my hand.
Yeah.
And they're like, cause it looks like cunt, but it stands for before I speak, is it kind, necessary, and true? Like it's just a reminder for something really positive.
Well,
it looks like cunt.
You wrote it huge on your hand, so obviously people are going to ask.
I need a huge reminder.
Okay. And what is it? Be kind.
It's in my office, written on my wall too.
What is it?
Before you speak is what you're going to say: kind, necessary, and true.
I love that.
All three.
I think that's really cool.
And guess what? Sometimes it doesn't meet all three of those criteria, and I say it anyway because I'm human, and that's fine.
You're saying you make mistakes and that you're human?
Yeah.
And you don't follow your own advice sometimes? Yeah. That's weird.
Huh.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
Happens every day.
What do you got?
Okay, so here's another article, and this episode's kind of feeling like a bonus-y style episode. No? Okay. Okay, so
I just listened to our last bonus episode, and it is precisely about that specific thing. Yeah.
Okay, so here's this. So I have another article, and it's the top three reasons couples get divorced, according to experts.
Oh, so that's on topic. Wait, what is the source?
Well, I got to read through this a little bit. It's experts are the source.
No, I mean, like, what's the website?
Oh, Bustle. Bustle.com, I think.
Oh, man. Are they credible?
Here's how it starts off.
Wait, are you going to let me guess what the top three are?
Sure, you can guess.
Okay. Money.
Okay.
Disagreements with how to raise children.
All right.
And infidelity.
Okay.
Okay.
You were wrong on all three. Here they are. Okay, number one is inability to repair after arguments.
Jesus Christ.
Which seems really simple.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the simplest things that kind of catch us in the end.
I guess I'm thinking about like long-term marriages, but this is probably like after a year of marriage or two, all those really short ones.
Well, this number one, that will eat away, even if you're together for a long time and you're not, you sweep things under the rug.
Yeah.
You keep sweeping and sweeping.
So much sweeping.
The floor is clean, like, but the rug is, everything's underneath it.
Ugh, like, get a dustpan already.
Get, vacuum it. Vacuum it up.
Get a fucking Dyson.
Okay. So that's number one, inability to repair after arguments, which, by the way, is not easy, but it's always good to get in there for me and you. Like, when we get after it, after an argument, and yeah, you need some time, you need some space, but you got to come back and kind of clean up some of that stuff and reiterate what you meant to say in the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the argument, and you have to rehash things and get outside of the emotion and come together, and you gotta repair. You gotta repair things.
Oh, dude, when we have like one thing that we're disagreeing on, or that's kind of the topic of the moment,
yeah,
and we're not talking about it, I can feel it in every inch of my body and in the house.
Oh my God.
But it only lasts for like when we argue about something like that, it only lasts for maybe a half hour or an hour until we talk about it.
Yeah, it's there.
So I can't imagine just like letting that be and then going on with my life. And then a few weeks later, say it happens again and we don't repair that one. And then all of those build up. I don't even know how I'd be walking around.
Divorce. That's what happens.
Oh my God.
Okay. Number two is growing apart.
Oh, well, that's real.
Yeah, that's super real. Which that I think that's another balancing act, because as... here's my belief on relationships, is that me and you are together, but we're walking parallel lines. Like, we're both individuals walking parallel lines. And I have to be a force of positivity for you to do what you want to do in life. And you have to do that for me. I expect that out of you for me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes... when there's encouragement to do what you need to do, there's growing apart, because even on that positive side, there's growing apart when you live that quote unquote healthy, my opinion of a healthy relationship, you can grow apart. And it happens also on the other side when you're not encouraging the other one and the other one goes, well, hey, I want to do this stuff anyways. And that's another example of how you can grow apart too.
Mm.
So it's like a fine line, and it brings it back to, you have to let go. I have to let go of you. If I love you, I have to let go of you.
Mm, yeah.
Which is kind of, it's a backwards thought, but, or it seems backwards, but it's really helped me big time to let go of you. Because now by the act of letting go of you, I respect you more and I cherish our relationship. And I love you more because of it, because I can just observe you and be there for you when it's necessary, instead of like controlling the thing and trying to hold on, you know, to everything.
It's
more of a spiritual way of.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, because what comes up in my mind is that is easier to do if you haven't agreed to be married. Like, you and I believe in that big time. But if you agree to get married, it's almost the opposite. Like, you don't set that person free and say, well, if that happens, it happens. You've agreed to do whatever it takes to stay together forever. And you've made vows. And so you're doing what you can to hold on to what you have that is good.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's so many layers to that, but I feel like your mindset would be different if you've made that commitment.
Well, that's my whole philosophy on relationships and marriage. That's why I don't want to get married, because so two people are attracted to each other,
mm-hmm.
which is not unique, by the way. It feels like it's once in a lifetime.
Oh, right.
Right? It's you're the one.
Yeah.
You're the soulmate.
There are lots of the ones.
There's lots of soulmates. And
well, that's just our opinion, man.
Well, I've lived through it, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's more than much more than an opinion. It's I guess it's anecdotal.
Yeah, I think there are people that have met their one and been with them their whole life and wouldn't agree with that, and that's fine.
Yeah, but then there's the other side of that is that person never got a chance to see what else is out. They never gave themselves a chance. They never went out and saw what else was out there and fell in love with another human being.
Yeah, I understand it.
But and then so back to marriage is so you get together. So here's my philosophy. Let me try and put this into words is people get attracted to each other. And I think what I want to do for you, Kylie, is I want to love you as best as I can and respect you as much as I can and to challenge you and to be challenged and to become better human beings. It's not to hold on to you no matter what and make it work no matter what. It's to meander through that in the gray area, and instead of it being black and white, married or not married, it's gray to me, and it's to navigate the relationship cosmos. It's to navigate the messiness of being human, myself and you and us together, and to see the world through those eyes. But what you just said about marriage is probably it's probably not what a lot of people think about marriage. I don't think is to just it's all about holding on no matter what.
Yeah.
But if it is that, then I am not interested. But if marriage is what I just said, then I am interested. I guess it's all perspective,
well,
really, when it comes down to it.
Everyone can decide what their marriage is about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For me, it's I don't want to have like this, I don't want to get the government involved.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I'm a libertarian, so the less government, the better. Get the fuck out of my life.
Yeah.
And I just want to live like in our relationship and in life, I want to live with openness as much as I can. And I want to continue to be more and more open, not so much to where
open, not an open relationship, but just open.
Yeah. I don't want
open-minded, open everything.
Yes.
There are so many paths you can turn down and walk down every day, every week, every year of your life.
Right.
And to have the freedom to explore those
together or alone. Here's a scenario. And I would love it if you answered me really truthfully.
Okay.
Okay. So me and you have this relationship. It's really good. Yes. Has its ups and downs. It's mm-hmm. it's a real pain in the ass sometimes.
You were about to say barn burner, and I honestly don't know what it means.
Barn burner?
You say barn burner all the time. That was a real barn burner. What does it mean?
I don't really know. Ooh. It's just fun to say.
Okay. I'm going to look
it
up later.
Well, I think it's like, it goes back to parties. And
like a rager?
Like a real rager? It gets so out of hand that the barn burns down.
Okay. Barn.
I'm about to ask you a really serious question and you're clacking away on your laptop.
Barn burner. An event, typically a sports contest, that is very exciting or intense. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So our relationship can be a real pickle sometimes.
Okay.
And it can also be really wonderful sometimes. And mostly it's just come home, eat dinner, stare at our phones. That's mostly what it is. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But here's a scenario. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, have an open mind, please. Open your mind. Okay. So we have a relationship, and in the near future, you lock eyes with somebody that you're attracted to. And then for whatever reason, you see him or her across the room. Gender fluid, right? I just want to be gender fluid. And then you get closer in vicinity, and then all of a sudden you have a flirtatious moment because we flirt with other people in life, whether we're together or not. It's just flirting's, I think, healthy. And then you have a flirtatious moment, and then all of a sudden you realize that this person is bigger and this moment is bigger than what you had imagined. And then all of a sudden you come home and you think about this person. and then you meet him again, and things are lining up in such a way to where it's weird and it feels uncomfortable because you're loyal to me and you're like, what is happening? You get confused and things start to break down in your brain to where life is a little bit more confusing than it was 2 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, feelings start to come into play and the word love gets thrown around in your head and you find yourself falling in love with somebody else. Yeah. Okay, so here's where I'm at. And this is getting out there as far as open-mindedness. It might be tough to talk about.
Bring it on.
Here's where I'm at. Obviously, I'm going to get jealous and envious if I find out about this. I'll get really scared. A lot of fear will come into play. But is it my position to stop that from happening or encourage it to happen? Because it's a really positive and interesting thing.
Is that your question?
And also, is it your position to feel immense shame and guilt and not follow your feelings and follow the adventure?
Mm-hmm. This is a great question.
Okay.
Because I've thought of this exact same scenario.
Right.
And I don't have the answer for you.
That's a great answer.
I don't think either of us has the answer or anyone has the answer.
I have an answer.
Well, hang on. You're asking me.
Okay, fair enough.
Is I think that, oh man, I would have to go down that path and allow it to happen to really truly know. But I know that I would come to a point where I would have to weigh the pros and cons of both of these scenarios. Because I have something specific with you that I really love and we've built a life. But on this other side, you're right. Like, do I just let that pass me by? This new person, this new opportunity, these feelings, do I like suppress all that really just because you and I have something else that's nice? But if I decided to try the new thing with the new person, the fear that I would have is that initial excitement would wear off and I would regret losing what I had with you. But there's no way of knowing that. That's the shitty part.
And also, is that a bad thing? Is that ultimately a bad thing?
No, I guess the ultimate fear when it comes down to it would be ending up alone after mm-hmm. trying this new thing that seemed really awesome and precious, and also letting this other thing go that was very precious, and then losing both of those scenarios, and here I am alone.
But then is the question, is it better to have tried love and lost?
Well, I think it depends on me as a person, where I'm at with myself in that time of my life.
Like, if you look at our relationship, it's like I said before, it's coming home, eating food together and staring at our phones. And here's an opportunity.
The day to day. Sure. And that will be the reality with this next relationship at some point.
True. But is that worthwhile to just not go for something? Like, what are we doing in life to not grab a hold of adventure?
I'm not saying yes or no to it. I'm just saying that they're like, if right. you
and
really,
I'm just asking the
if
questions.
If I am going to make that big of a decision
yeah.
to like leave you just to explore this thing that I haven't even experienced yet, I'm going to think through it
okay.
majorly. Like, we have built a house, we have pets together, we have friend groups together, we have all this history. So like, I'd have to be okay with never having any of that again.
Yeah, but that's all comfort zone shit.
Yeah, and I like to be comfortable.
Yeah, who doesn't? But I mean, the growth out of taking a chance and risking it all is fucking phenomenal, right?
Yeah. So have you experienced this?
No, never.
Okay, yeah.
Never. Never have I ever fallen in love with somebody else while I'm in a relationship. Yeah. That's never happened. Although that happens all the time, by the way.
Yeah.
With other people.
That's what I do want to say is I've always been really black and white about cheating. Mm, and yeah. The scenario you just explained to me, I have literally thought of that exact same thing you just explained. And it helps me understand why someone might stray or cheat or whatever. I don't agree with that, but I can understand.
Here, can I tell you about
that
cheating?
They want to explore that other thing without letting the other go.
The way I feel about cheating is right now, if you cheated on me, I'm more than willing to talk it through because I definitely have my part to play in that. Like I'm fucking up something along the way to where you need to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But also I need to explore, like, is it time to let you go? Is it time to let this go at the same time? But hang on a sec. Hang on.
Well, okay. I want to say, okay. I think I agree with you at this point too.
Mm, okay.
If you did the same thing, like,
yeah,
I've never in the past, if someone cheated on me, it's like, fuck you. That's it.
Right. Which is an okay decision, by the way.
And also I'd give them the second chance like 2 years later because I was an idiot. But with what we have, I do think there's too many layers to it and we would probably work through it or work out of it and go from there. Like I wouldn't say fuck you, it's done.
Okay, so
which I've never felt that way before.
Yeah, and I feel the same way, but back to the thing is if I were to go, Salem, leave it. If that were to happen to me, mm-hmm. and I saw somebody, mm-hmm. and the whole thing happened,
yeah.
that what I just explained, do you have a let go? What's your position? Hang on and fight or let go?
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, it depends. Mm-hmm. Obviously, immediate feelings are like, betrayal, abandonment, mistrust, of course.
Right.
Upon deeper layers, I would need to understand your state of mind. Mm-hmm. If the thing that you did or that you explored is like something you still want to go down, then we would have to talk that out or if it were a one and done thing and you're like, I fucked up, it was a mistake, let's work this out. Those are two totally different scenarios.
No. I'm not talking about that scenario. I'm talking about the adventurous fall in love.
Uh-huh. Thing. Yeah. But yeah. What if you didn't fall in love with that person, but you had just cheated?
No, but that's a scenario I'm bringing to you. In that situation.
Yeah.
What would you do?
If you were the person that fell in love?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you fell in love.
Yes, that's what I've said.
I'm sorry.
Like 10 times.
Well, I was just assuming that like you got to a point where you hadn't cheated yet, but you felt like you were going to fall in love with this person and you wanted to go try that out to find out if it was a yay or a nay for you. I thought that was the scenario. If you literally felt, I mean, I would have to let go. Because if I held on to you in that scenario, and just knowing that you had these other feelings for someone else,
right,
and were for whatever reason trying to work it out with me, I don't think I could live with myself on the daily. Like,
so
it'd be so uncomfortable.
So I feel the same way. If that were to happen to you right now, in like a really, because I'm in a good spot in my head, mm-hmm. It would be devastating.
Yeah.
But I would have to let go.
It'd be devastating. It'd be very hard, but like, it would be an answer. It would be an answer for an end to this relationship.
Okay.
Well, whereas if we just coast along like this forever, there's really no answer to why we would need to amicably split up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the third one. Thanks. Oh. Thanks for talking through that with me. That was fun.
I've actually wanted to talk about that.
Okay, well, there we go.
And I can't believe how perfectly you described it.
I kind of nailed that, didn't I?
Yeah. It was so well that I was like, oh shit. Oh, is it actually happening?
No, babe.
I know.
Come on.
But it can. It could.
It could.
Either side.
That's a part of letting go. I can't be afraid of that happening because then I'm controlling the relationship. I'm like hoarding you.
I know. Listen, right? I've met people where there have been a spark.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh God. I want to talk to this person more, but like, I'm going to come off as flirting. Like, do I continue? I've met people where I've like gotten along with them really well and been attracted to them. Yeah.
Okay.
Haven't you? That's a normal part of life.
I have. Yes, definitely. But I'm always cautious because I don't go past a certain point.
Oh no.
Because I want to stay together with you. I think that's what it is. But there's another side to that, which is adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just a spark, that's not obviously worth.
Well, right. Like, I think both of you and I are both respectful enough to know that those are most likely first impression, first meeting scenarios. Yeah. And you're not like, let's hang out.
Mostly just like, here's an attractive person. That's mostly what it is.
Yeah. Or someone that is like in some way, a distant friend, that you may see from time to time, but like they're just there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, that's a scenario where, I mean, if you get around that person enough through serendipitous moments throughout the years, that's a perfect example of how it could happen.
That does happen. Totally.
That happens to you?
No, I mean like with couples.
Oh, right.
Like you hear of couples breaking up and then like married people getting divorced and then like she gets with the brother or the friend because she's been around them their whole life and they've had some kind of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is all very emotional. And speaking of emotions.
Okay.
Number three is emotional flooding of why couples get divorced.
What is that?
So I'm going to tell you. Something happens during your interaction with your partner that sets off an internal threat detection system.
What?
This incredibly physical response can be stopped in its tracks, but can become a chronic issue in a relationship when every disagreement ends with this sort of emotional response. Many couples who get divorced may not have been able to get past the moment of emotional flooding during conflict. Okay, so it's when emotions are like so intense amongst the conflict that it becomes like throwing plates or screaming.
Oh,
or that's what it reads to me.
Is it another way of saying that your emotions have built up over the years, which are also called resentments, and you just can't even handle? It's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, this specifically says it's a chronic issue, so it happens consistently. You get so emotionally involved where you can't think rationally or...
Oh.
Right? And then you start yelling. You start getting into those behaviors that are not productive, which is easy to do.
Can we talk about fight techniques? Because I used to be a screamer and a yeller.
Oh, yeah. You screamed at me a couple of times.
No.
Yeah, you have.
I don't think I've ever screamed at you the way I've screamed at other people or my mom.
You're not hearing me. You have screamed at me a couple of times to where I can't stop you from screaming at me. Remember that time when I grabbed the soda can?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that time. And that was more like me crying so hard that I had to be like, like I was just pouring out my thoughts and emotions.
I feel like you're justifying your actions right now.
I want to explain to you. I've straight up like fucking scream yelled at someone.
Oh, okay.
Mean stuff.
Okay.
Fighting words.
All right.
Have I done that to you?
No, you haven't. Not that.
Thank you for thank you for confirming. No, I know for a fact I haven't because things have just changed in the type of relationship that we have than I've had in the past. And my mom and I used to yell at each other and it was just,
right.
I didn't know how to regulate my emotions. in past relationships where they would boil over to the point where I needed to physically slam my hands on a door or a countertop or whatever, like scream to the point where like I couldn't breathe.
That sounds like what emotional flooding is where you get to that tipping point and you tip into destructive behavior.
Yeah.
Consistently. Yeah. So if it happens consistently in the relationship, eventually a breakup will happen.
But what that comes down to from personal experience is not dealing with your own shit.
Yeah, and of course.
Like not understanding why you feel a certain way or what makes you upset. Like you have to work that shit out.
And simple tactics of like pausing amongst the argument, taking a breath and like making sure there's a beat between the thought and the action.
Oh my God. KNT. Is it kind, necessary, and true?
Yeah, right.
But maybe in a fight, you can let go of the kind part because, like, it's a fight.
Yeah, and by the way, it's good to fight. It's good to fight. I don't know what the frequency is, but it's good to have disagreements.
I also, I don't know if it was Reddit or something, but another fight technique that I saw was, like, in the middle of a really heated fight to just immediately start like fucking.
Oh.
And I remember telling you we should try that sometime. Like in the heated moment where we could not stand each other more and all we really want to do is probably walk out of the house or say fuck you.
Leave the country.
To literally literally walk over and just start going at it and see what happens.
We're talking sexuals.
Sexuals.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
I wanted to try that.
It's always after. It's the makeup sex that happens, which, by the way, is out of this world.
Super fun.
Yeah.
But what if we did it in the midst of our anger? Can you imagine what kind of stuff would happen?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, your face. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited to try it.
Okay.
Hey, this is all, like, getting really heavy and stuff and emotional flooding's hard to deal with. Here's a study from the Iowa State University, and they did I'm just going to read this article because it's really incredible. And this would be a great thing after an argument to do or during it or before or whatever.
Okay.
But also as a human being, this is really incredible. And
what's it called?
It's called A Simple Strategy to Improve Your Mood in 12 Minutes.
Oh, 12 whole minutes? Okay.
Here we go. We all have a remedy, a glass of wine or a piece of chocolate for lifting our spirits when we're in a bad mood. Rather than focusing on ways to make ourselves feel better, a team of Iowa State University researchers suggests wishing others well.
Gratitude.
So instead of making myself feel better, I try and make somebody else feel better.
Interesting.
So this is really cool shit.
Like you reach out to them.
Yeah, this is cool. In fact, I practice this stuff.
Okay, keep going.
Walking around and offering kindness to others in the world reduces anxiety and increases happiness and feelings of social connection.
Hmm.
It's a simple strategy that doesn't take a lot of time that you can incorporate into your daily activities. Here's how it breaks down. Don Sweet, senior lecturer in psychology, and Lan Mio He, graduate student in psychology, tested the benefits of three different techniques intended to reduce anxiety and increase happiness or well-being. They did this by having college students walk around a building for 12 minutes and practice one of the following strategies.
Oh.
So walking is involved.
Oh, I do that at work.
Physical exercise.
Okay.
Here's the strategies. Number one, loving kindness. Mm. Looking at the people they see and thinking to themselves, I wish this person to be happy.
Oh, so just the thought? Okay.
Students were encouraged to really mean it as they were thinking it.
Mm.
So sincerity in that thought.
Okay.
Number two, here's the second strategy, interconnectedness. Looking at the people they see and thinking how they are connected to each other, it was suggested that students think about the hopes and feelings they may share or that they might take a similar class. Mm. So just thinking of like, we're all connected, I guess.
Yeah.
just thinking of like the idea that we all come from stars.
Outside of whatever you're thinking, just getting outside of that.
Finding that common ground. Number three, the third strategy is downward social comparison. Looking at the people they see and thinking about how they may be better off than each of the people they encountered. This study, published in the Journal of Happiness Studies, also included a control group in which students were instructed to look at people and focus on what they see on the outside, such as their clothing, the combination of colors, textures, as well as makeup and accessories. All students were surveyed before and after the walk to measure anxiety, happiness, stress, empathy, and connectedness. Love and kindness wins. The researchers compared each technique with the control group and found those who practice loving kindness or wished others well felt happier, more connected, caring, and empathetic, as well as less anxious. The interconnectedness group was more empathetic and connected. Downward social comparison showed no benefit and was significantly worse. And so out of all of them, out of all of the three, love and kindness was the best one.
So thinking kind thoughts.
Yeah, wishing other people well.
Okay.
And you hear the term, like, if you have a resentment with somebody, you pray for them.
Yeah.
It's the same type of exercise.
Gotcha. That's such a positive article to sprinkle in right now with all the other shit that we are reading in the news and depressing articles, you know? I wish that one would go viral.
And then it goes on to say social media comparisons down here at the bottom. This one's really cool. Social media is like a playground for comparisons. He makes more money than I. She has a nicer car. While the study did not look specifically at social media, they say that the results demonstrate the comparison as a risky strategy. And that's what downward social comparison is.
Oh, that's what negative.
It is. Yeah, that's not good.
That's a huge deal because everyone only, for the most part, posts the positive things about their life on social. So if you're going down social and you're not in a good place, you are just looking at all these happy things and good positive things people are sharing and doing and what they have and
so
accomplishments. And it's like, oh, shit.
So when you're walking around with the comparison stuff, that's the same thing as basically thumbing through Instagram.
Oh.
And it says here, we often feel envy, jealousy, anger, disappointment in response to what we see.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And those emotions disrupt our sense of well-being. And what I do, so I'm always like, I'm not working hard enough all the time. I'm not doing the right things. I should have more followers because it would help my company. All the time.
Yeah, you watch a lot of YouTube of like videographers and things like that who are fucking doing all these crazy shit. And then...
That's different.
Doesn't it kind of make you...
No.
Okay, okay.
No, because... So YouTube...
Well, you learn from it.
Yeah, I'm learning.
But you also take away that I should be doing all this stuff sometimes.
That's true. There's probably a negative side to YouTube as well. I mean, why wouldn't there be?
Oh, that's a nice article. Is that all of it?
Yeah, I feel like I botched some of it. No. But what's cool is if you walk for 12 minutes and wish other people well with love and kindness
on your walk,
you'll be less anxious, more empathetic, more kind, and more happy. You'll be happier.
That's such an easy thing that literally anyone can do.
It's so awesome.
Everyone can do that, even if you don't have other tools.
Yeah, man.
I love it. That's why I see so many people walking at work, I think. Everyone's just venting. I love it. I'm going to go for a walk today, I think.
Okay, me too.
Nice out.
Well, that was a good episode, honey.
Yeah, that's a good conversation.
Walk for 12 minutes, love and kindness. Happier as a human being.
Yes.
We learned how to not break up.
Or do it amicably.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh my God. Conscious uncoupling is a whole thing too that I heard Gwyneth Paltrow talking about. I wonder if that fit anywhere into what we were talking about. Anyway.
And we learned all about
common law marriage, which is nothing.
Which turns out to be nothing, especially where it's not even a thing in Washington.
Nope.
It's literally doesn't exist.
Not an option.
So
if you want to get married, get married. If you don't, don't. And that is black and white for you right there.
I think we can button up the whole podcast series now. We figured it out.
Okay.
So all kidding aside.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Should We Get Married, I want to talk about getting fat.
Oh.
And attractiveness inside of the relationship. And also our new segment.
The question of questions.
Yes, the question of questions.
Yeah, I bought a new book. It's called The Book of Questions. And I want to take questions from there and answer questions.
I'm pumped. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.